Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on verses from Genesis chapter 32. It's 22 through 30. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask for my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. So you think you have problems. It would have been hard enough if I would have been alone that night, but this was the story of my life. One problem after another. It started when I was still inside my mother with my twin brother Esau. Used to fight like tigers. Inside our mom, rolling around and kicking and punching, it got so bad that Mother Rebecca actually went to inquire of the Lord, "What's wrong with me?" And the Lord answered, "There are two nations inside you, inside your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." My brother Esau, the older brother, did not like that, because I like to remind him all through our life, the older will serve the younger, and I was the younger. And it wasn't going to be him ahead of me if I could help it. You know how, if you're racing your brother to the lake, you run real fast and you say, "Last one in's a rotten egg." Well, this one day came when we were fighting in there and he said to me, "The last one out's a big baby." And then he dove. I wasn't going to let him win. And I grabbed him by the heel. He got out first, but I still had hold of his heel. They called me heel grabber. Jacob. That's how I lived my life. I lived my whole life trying to grab on to what wasn't supposed to be mine or grab on what was supposed to be mine as a deceiver, a heel grabber, a Jacob. So I tricked my brother Esau out of his birthright and his blessing, and then I had to run for my life because Esau wanted to kill me. And I had to go back and spend the last 20 years with my Uncle Laban, Mother Rebecca's brother. And here I am. I'm alone now, but that's because my four wives I've sent across the river here with my 11 sons and daughter Dinah and all the herds and flocks I have. I'm rich. But I'm also very much alone because I just found out that my brother Esau is coming with 400 men. And I finally got to face up to what I did to him. You know, I've done everything I can. I've sent servants with groups of herds and hundreds of animals to my brother Esau to try to pacify him. I'm hoping that by the time he gets here, he's at least going to be a little friendly. Because 20 years ago, he wanted to kill me. I've done everything I can. The family and two groups on the other side, I've been praying my heart out. Oh God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, oh Lord, you said to me, go back to your country and your relatives and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I've become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid. He will come and attack me, and also the mothers and their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. You might say I'm out of aces. I got nothing left. There's nothing else I can do. I know, you've got problems in your life too, but don't they usually seem like they're far away, like somebody else's problems? Like you read about in your time, you read about floods in Pakistan and 17 to 20 million people out of their homes and subject at risk from food shortages and disease. You've got 1,600 people dead, 2,300 plus injured, but they're over there. They're far away. You in America, you've never experienced something like that. Don't you like what that one man said in that Muslim country about all those people of God who worship the God of my grandfather Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of me, Jacob? They worship this kind God and they send all this help to everyone, including the Muslims in Pakistan. And one of those Pakistani said, I know that your God is the true God because I see his love in you. But faraway problems, and maybe not that great, even that church in Boise, Idaho with the fire in the building next door and the water damage in their rented facility. That Pastor Kramer was right. He said to the congregation, don't be sad now. It's a devastating time to our building, but it's an exciting time to see the love of God. Here in this dark night on the Jabbok River with my family all on the other side and my brother with 400 men coming maybe to hunt me down. That's close. That's close. I don't know how this happened. It was strange to me too. I was praying. And then all of a sudden, I can't see his face. I can't really see him, but he's got hold of me really strong. And he's fighting me, wrestling with me. We're back and forth, and every time I feel like I'm going to pin him down, he rolls me over like a feather, and he's on me, and I fight him back. This goes on for hours. He couldn't beat me fair and square. Hey. I'm a rancher. I grew up wrestling with sheep and calves. You think this is the first time for me? I fought him. I wrestled him all night. And then finally, he just touched me. Right there. That's all. Just like touched me. Boom. My leg was totally out of joint. It never healed. I limped the rest of my life. What have I got left at that point? That power tells me this is the God of my father, Abraham and Isaac. And I'm wrestling with God. And morning is coming, and he's saying to me, let me go, for it is daybreak. And I'm thinking, not going to happen. I got nothing left. And I wrap my arms around him so tight. And when he said, let go, I said, no. I said, I will not let you go until you bless me. He must have been letting me do it, I guess, if he could touch my hip and put it out of joint and leave me limping the rest of my life. What's with this God? I wasn't looking for him. I was just trying to pray in the darkness of being alone. And he starts fighting with me. He starts wrestling. He makes me feel like he's angry at me. I'm in desperate need. I got nothing left. And he comes close enough for me to get my arms around him. You better believe I'm not going to let him go. I will not let you go until you bless me. Ah, yeah, I know. I know there's other ways. People that, they want to do other things. They want to search for information and help from other places. Your professor, Dr. Becker, years ago at your seminary wrote a book called Wizards That Peep, and your publishing house just put it out again, a classic. You got to get that. Dr. Becker told your pastor in class that was one of the darkest times in his life when he wrote that book, because wizards that peep and mutter is the sorcery out there. What about those kids' books about sorcery that make wizards seem like that's normal? You got to be kidding. Wizards that peep and mutter. No place to find information. No place to find help. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when he comes close and he talks to you and you can pray to him and he says, let me go, it's toward morning. No. I will not let you go until you bless me. Because you get to times like that in your life, don't you? You've all had it when you're really up against it, and it's those hard times. When you finally realize how weak you are, and until you know how weak you are, you'll never know how strong God is. When you still have the energy and the smarts to figure it out yourself, and you figure you're going to straighten out the problem, you're not resting on God. But when you're out of aces, and you don't know what to do in the dark, dark night, it's when you realize how weak you are that you finally realize how strong God is, and you write hymns like the ones in your hymnal. The comfort and the trust parts, the commitment parts of your hymnal, those great hymns, or the beautiful meditations that came out of times of difficulty and hardship. And now that book, for such a time as this, it's out again, another publishing house classic. Named after that Jewish woman made queen in Persia, and her uncle Mordecai said, don't think you're going to live, Esther. Everyone else may die, but Esther, maybe God brought you to this place of royalty and authority in the country for such a time as this. And maybe you're locked up in struggle with God in your life for such a time as this, Christian, because God wants to use you for something. You don't have to think of it first. You don't even have to have all the ideas. You just got to make sure you don't let go. I will not let you go until you bless me. There's a time to give in, and there's a time to be stubborn. There's a time to be stubborn with God. The time is like when, you remember Jesus and his disciples walking along, and that woman kept chasing after him and shouting, and she was a Gentile woman, something about her daughter being demon-possessed, and Jesus turned around, and because his disciples were saying, get rid of her, you know, she's making a public scene, making us look bad, and Jesus turned around, and what was that he said to her? You dog? Son of Man was not sent to take care of you Gentile dogs? She wouldn't let up. This was, I will not let you go until you bless me, because she said, yes, Master, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall under the Master's table. Ah, he fought me. He tried to make me let go, but I was determined. I would not let him go. I will not let you go until you bless me. You're not going to be able to pray like that until God has disciplined you in your life, like me for these 20 years, of finding out from Uncle Laban what it's like when you keep deceiving people. I was on the other end of it, because boy, he could have been named Jacob. Kept changing my wages. Remember how he tricked me with his daughters? I worked 7 years thinking I'd get to marry Rachel, and he substitutes Leah. Still not sure how that happened. Wake up in the morning, I got the wrong sister. He says, well, we don't give the younger one before the older one. Another 7 years I got to work for him. I finally get Rachel that I wanted. Leah's the one having all the kids, and then Rachel gets upset. She gives me her maidservant, you know, his concubine wife, so I got more sons from her. And then Leah's, you know, she's out of babies, so she gives me her handmaiden. Now I got three wives. Rachel still hasn't anybody. And finally I get Joseph. Now I got 11 sons and one daughter, Dinah. That's Laban for you. I got to live with him. He keeps on changing things. You're not going to know what life is like with your God until you have people treat you really rotten, because boy, sometimes you're looking in the mirror. All those nasty things people say to you, how do you know you didn't somewhere along the line say something like that to someone else and you didn't even know you did it? What's going on in your head when you're upset and those things, maybe you're glad nobody ever hears except him? Till you get the darkest night, you never really know how powerful God is and how true he is to his promises. And you're not going to know his promises if you're not in his word. You think your pastor in 1 hour a week, maybe once or twice a month, he's going to give you everything you need for your life by the grace of God. Maybe, yeah, God's powerful. His word is awesome. But you pray and you pray and you pray, and then you do all the talking and you don't open your Bible and let God answer. You do all the talking when you pray. All you got to do is pray with your Bible open, and sometimes he'll take you right to whatever you were praying about, and if you know your Bible, you'll be able to find it. You're not going to be able to pray with this stubborn, determined faith unless you're in God's word, so that at that time when God looks angry and upset at you, when you can't quite get a grip on him, when he's telling you, let me go, and you got to insist, no way, you're going to need the strength from this. By God, he gave it to me. God, my Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I will not let you go until you bless me. Remember what he asked me, like he didn't know? What's your name? Because I wanted to know his name, you know. He wouldn't tell me that. It's like I should really know it already, and he doesn't have to tell me. But he asked me, what is your name? Confession? Confession of sin? My name is Jacob. It means deceiver. It means someone who tries to make his life go right by his own effort and his own work, even against God, or trying to make God's work come out. My name is Jacob. And I will never forget what he said to me then. Your name will no longer be the deceiver, Jacob. Your name will be Israel, the wrestler. You have wrestled with God and with men, and you have overcome. He named me wrestler. And where he touched my hip, rest of my life I limped on that. I always had a reminder of my own weakness, because right there, where God touched me, in my weakness is when I found the strength of God. I will not let you go until you bless me. Lord, teach us to pray, because you shed your blood to wash away our sins. You rose again to give us life. And this is life in Christ. Determined faith. In desperate need. I will not let you go until you bless me. For Jesus' sake. Amen.